Yes. Where is he? Oh, okay. He's doing better.
Was an extra pen tonight.
Extra pen tonight?
I don't want to break my record.
Extra pen. Is he at the White House?
I don't know.
Is he going to be the Attorney General?
How are you supposed to get ready?
Am I first?
Go to the side. Somebody go this way?
Yeah, go that way.
Go around, go one the other way. First case instead of third. Madam Clerk?
Board of Commissioners, public meeting Wednesday, November 7, 2018. The time is 7:05. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the December 14, 2017 issue of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and the Star Ledger. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Rogers is absent, excused. Commissioner Tucci?
Here.
Commissioner Evans?
Here.
Commissioner Petracco?
Here.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Here.
All present mayor except for Commissioner Rogers. He is absent, excused this evening.
Commissioner Tucci, what do you have on the agenda?
I sure really are going the other way. Okay. Which sort of Rogers, he's not here. What do I have? Let's see. I have a shade tree report for the month of October, and I have several resolutions. One's to accept the an offer from Marzax Inc. for some surplus equipment for vehicles, old vehicles, one for $900, the other for $1,120. I have an award of a contract through a fair and open process for specialized professional services for a risk manager. You crossed that off your list, Madam Clerk.
I did.
All right, for C. Walter Searle, Franklin Avenue in Nutley, for January 1, 2019 through December 31, 2020. I have a word of a contract for through a fair and open process for specialized services for insurance accident and safety review, again to Walter Searle, Franklin Avenue, not to exceed $10,000. Same dates, January 1, 2019 through December 31, 2019. I have a word of a contract to Princeton Hosted Solutions for our analog copper telephone lines for existing alarm system and fax lines. From September 1, 2018 through June 30, 2020 for a total of $47,952. And we have an authorization for amendment to a 3-year contract with Strategic Products and Services to reflect new ownership by Converge One, Inc., effective November 6. This is basically an assignment they were sold, so I just want to have a little paper trail.
There's just one correction. 253-18, I think it's a 1-year contract, right? December 31, 2019. January 1, 2017.
I
just check with Frank.
Yeah, I think it should be.
Just
to
correct the typo.
Yes, it's usually an annual contract with
the option to extend.
To renew, yes.
It's a
1-year
contract.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, sir.
Just want to make sure.
Thank you. Nice catch on.
Frank.
Yes, that's all I have.
Commissioner Rogers has two resolutions.
Oh, just correct here. Oh, okay, good.
One is the World Diabetes Day. And one is authorized for a budget transfer, $25,000. Mr. Adams?
Look down there, Frank.
Oh, look at that. I got him. Yeah, I just ate.
We're having a party tonight, or?
Yeah.
This is courtesy of Mayor Melham and the
losing team.
Council.
That's a low key.
It's Palermo pizza from La Cecilia.
La Cecilia, very good.
Smells good. Commissioner Evans.
I have an ordinance introduction which is regarding pay to play. It's no different than the pay-to-play rules we follow under the state statute. The only thing that is a follow-up that in order to get our state aid, BCA is requiring us to have the ordinance at least at the state level on our local base. So, so basically it's a mission compliance procedure to be in line with what they're requiring in order for us to have our state aid released. $4.1 million.
If, in the absence of us having our own pay-to-play ordinance, though, doesn't, don't we revert to the state ordinance?
Exactly. And this is the same thing that the state's want, the state is wanting municipalities that have the ordinance on their local books. So, because we, if we want, locally, we have the ability to actually enact something stricter. But as long as it's at a minimum, it's following the state statute.
And what is this? Is it the minimum? Or
yeah, it's the state statute.
I am totally in favor of this, but I would like to see what some of the surrounding communities, what they have on the books. If we introduce, will that satisfy them to release our money?
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Okay, I'm with you then.
We're
introduction.
We're listening.
Right.
We're listening, and I want to see if anybody else is going to comply with the requirements.
Well, I don't have a problem.
It's not just, it's not right. Ask of us. If anybody right. Who's getting transitional aid, they want mm-hmm. All transitional aid communities to have this on their books.
Right. Because so it's quite likely. I'd like to see what everyone right. Else has so right. We're not either not as restrictive as we should be or overly restrictive.
Yes. This is just to give me a heads up.
It's November.
Right.
And they're going to give us a check in December.
Yes.
Well, then let's introduce and do it in the interim. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
God, no, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll do the homework. I just get it, start the process.
Okay.
All right. So the only thing that I want to be able to say to them, yep, because they told me today, wanted to know if we were following through, and I said, yep, it'll be on the agenda tonight. We'll mm-hmm. Introduce.
Well, we're going to introduce.
Which is all I said. Right?
There you go.
I also have.
That was the truth.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously, we're introducing tonight. And she couldn't have, the person I spoke to couldn't tell me where other municipalities had put it on the books already. But since they awarded the calendar year communities their aid so late, they're just getting caught up on the paper.
Yeah.
So it's just as it is. I have five resolutions as well. The first is for a request for proposals for bank services. We haven't actually gone out and surveyed our banks in a while, so we're going to update our service request and see what's out there. The second is a change order regarding Encino, regarding our Special Development Council. It's our first change order to, and it's an increase of $15,000. I have a budget transfer for $35,000, and I have two refunds of overpayments. One overpayment of taxes, the other is the release of a guarantee, which was related to the medical school that works for the firm, and we can release the bills. That's all I have.
Mr. On the banking services, I happened to be at a freeholder meeting about 6 months ago, and they had a bank in. And boy, did they press them on what they were doing with their community service dollars and how they were spending them in the community, and also what they were doing to help people with foreclosure and keep them out of foreclosure. And they pressed them pretty hard, and the bank complied.
Yeah.
So I think there's opportunities there for, you know, for us to figure out how they do, you know. I know that they support different things with $500 here or $500 there, but there seems like there's a bigger pool of money for the community to benefit.
I agree. It's actually in the proposal. We asked them to summarize what their support is to the community.
Very good.
That's 2 years.
Right.
That's all she will be wanting.
Yeah, I have a couple of resolutions for this abandoned property. Live auction. One is December 11th, 2018 at Nicoletti Towing. The second one is at Twin Towing on December 11th. And then I have a budget transfer of $200,000. And I need a short executive meeting regarding personnel. Bank. Have a cover that?
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
All right. I have a monthly progress reports. I have introduction of two ordinances on behalf of the Board of Commissioners. One is on the custodial of records, and the other is amending the fees that we charge.
You know, just real quick on that one, is that the one with the Chief of Police?
The first
custodian.
That's the first one that you did?
Yeah.
What, this is the first time I'm actually on the agenda tonight because I didn't have time to.
So we had a meeting a couple weeks ago with the clerk, with chief, with captain, and with Justin Marquette from the signals office, who had gone over the Oprah issues. And Justin had recommended these two ordinances. One, because the police have such a document production function, that we have to designate one person as the custodian, but we can designate a deputy so that the chief or his assignee, whoever he wants to do it, has the authority then to respond to those requests from the department.
And through what, an Oprah request?
Yeah, an Oprah request or document request, which they get a significant amount of. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense every time someone wants a report to come through the clerk's office. So he suggested introducing this ordinance to give the chief the authority to be the deputy. But ultimately, the responsibility is ultimately for the money. So he has to report to her every month about what he's doing so that there's information given
before
to the clerk.
He releases information?
No, he has the authority to do that. Okay. But just in terms of reporting to the clerk what he's doing so that she's aware she's the custodian. Okay. It's really more of a reporting thing. And the chief thought it was a great idea because he's kind of caught in the middle sometimes, and we think it's a better way to deal with it, to clarify.
Okay.
So we had a discussion about that. I thought Tom would have to
share. The chief or the commissioner?
Well, the day-to-day person is handling the documents, sort of like the clerk, but over in the police department, because they really get a huge amount of requests. And sometimes they come here.
Right.
We lock them in. Everyone gets a number. Mm-hmm. And same thing's going to happen over there, but the clerk will be able to log it in once Tommy advised them, I got these requests, and they'll respond to them, who's the name, and she can make sure they get logged in. Right, Lenny? I think I'm explaining that.
That's correct.
So it's a way to make sure that things aren't falling into the cracks, which we were having a little bit of an issue with. So this is what he suggests.
The only reason I ask that question is because in our department, it's either handled by Frank or Chrissy or
different
one of the other
issue.
Ladies.
Different right? issue, yeah. Because they're not supposed to be responding to over this. We had a discussion about that.
No, I know, but they supply the information to her,
right,
and as long as they know, I'm kept in the loop.
Correct, but they're not out of the loop.
Right.
They're not out of the loop. They're still going to be responsible for their department's documents. But this is in terms of the separate problem the police department has relative to documents. Because they get inundated. This is not the same as what every other department gets for the Oprah request. Usually you'll get your Oprah request through Eleni.
Mm-hmm.
It comes here, and then she'll send it to your department. She can log it and keep track of it, and then she refers it to your department head, who's then responsible for responding. This is a little bit different because the requests go directly to the police department. And we need to be able to give him authority to handle them, yet keep the clerk alert as to
what's going on. Why is that, though? Why wouldn't they all go to her?
Because there's a different, under the state statute regarding police reports and documents and things,
right.
They really should be handled as Oprah requests. But it's kind of like a hybrid. And so, you know,
is that because of confidentiality?
Not necessarily, just in terms of it's a public document, and is it subject to Oprah, is it not? Sometimes we have issues where we shouldn't release it. It's a minor or juvenile information, or if it's a report,
right.
We can't release it. So, you know, we want to be able to coordinate and work together to make sure we're not violating that exception to the Oprah statute. So this gives the chief, it actually gives him the phone, doesn't take it away. And it just requires that he communicate with the clerk with what he's doing. So the chief, as Chief Sherman thought it was a good idea, he liked the idea. And so that's why we put it out there. And the other one is just fees.
And this is for the introduction, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, for introduction. And the other one is fees. You know, we want to make sure that we're at the current fee rate set by statute. So we're just updating and putting that into the ordinance. So if there are fees to be charged for Oprah requests, we can charge the current allowable fees.
So just so I understand how this is going to work, I mean, our chief, is he trained in Oprah? Because the only question that I have and why I hesitate to even introduce this tonight is that if he's going to release the documents before and just kind of give her a report at the end of the month, I could understand it more if she's our Oprah point person, you know, she's trained in Oprah, that he could say, okay, yeah, you know, we're going to release these documents, but...
Well, the answer is he is trained. Okay, and you know, we try to develop a process internally so we can handle the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are difficult. Most of them are just general mundane requests, and that's where things get bogged down. So we want to give him the authority to deal with it. Anything complicated, the chief's always calling me or the clerk, and we collaborate on and Justin too, from the casino's office. He's an expert. So It's actually been working pretty well. I think it's been really much more efficient, and we're much more sure of ourselves in terms of how it's being handled. But, you know, if you want to introduce it, we can discuss it, and if there's any other questions, we can absolutely sit down with the chief if you want.
So the procedure is already in place.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is just putting it memorialized.
And the second one is the fees. That's just, you know, what we need to clean up our ordinance on that.
So let me understand this. So we have the clerk, obviously, who does the OPA request. We have the chief, who's the backup, for lack of a better term. And then we have this Justin person from Inglesino.
No, he's not doing OPAs. No, he's just handling some legal questions for us on occasion. Because some of them... You know, I don't deal with OPA every day. He does OPA all the time. He's an expert. So we've collaborated with him on some of the issues. Right. He's very knowledgeable. So he's kind of helped us kind of straighten out. And he said, we haven't designated a custodian, which we should do. That's what the ordinance is really doing. The second part of the ordinance is to just name the chief.
Did we retain him to do that? I know we retained him for development, you know, issues and things like that, and to deal with COA. But this one's a little new to me.
Mostly OPA requests and things involving around Roche, Hoffman Roche, which is consistent with what they've been retained to do. Well, and I'm looking at how we expand that as we go forward. So the answer is, overall, he's part of the existing agreement with Inglesino's office as special counsel related to Roche, because that's where some of these questions have come up. But it may expand into some of these other areas, which then I would have to do a resolution.
Yeah, Eleni and I are still dealing with it, but it's just a matter, he's been very helpful to us. Met with us a couple of times, very, very, very helpful. So I don't know if it's going to continue, whether we're going to need to continue or not, but just from that short term, he's been very good. And a lot of those issues are really...
Justin's excellent. I've worked with him, and he's
awesome. I think you've met him.
I haven't met him. He's very good.
So, you know,
the only question that I have is, like, I mean, are we going to start doing this like in every department, or just...
No.
Why could what? So in other words, public safety is the department that gets the most OPA requests, or because of the records and all that?
We get the most. The clerk gets the most OPA requests, but it's a special problem for the police.
They're different kinds of records.
Yeah, there's different kinds of records. It's more like police-related records. I'll give you a different example. We got an OPA request here for a copy of their SWAT response policy procedure manual. Okay. You're not producing that. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, so
obviously, that's not the kind that he would. This was dealt with here. We collaborated and came up with a decision, and we couldn't produce it. So those are unusual requests. They actually came here first. Normal procedure is it comes here, we send it to the department heads. But in the situation with police records, there are so many requests, CAD reports, police reports, you know, all kinds of discovery. And so... He felt it streamlines it and makes it a more efficient policy. So I can, if you want to have him here next time, I could have maybe explain if there's anything else that's related to. You want to meet in between?
Well, I'll talk to him tomorrow. I just want to make sure that the information that we're giving out, because a lot of times it has to be, it deals with juveniles.
Yeah, no.
I had a mother call me up, a friend, and you know, and I talked to you about that, only that her son was getting calls from a lawyer because he was in an accident. How did they get to, he's underage, how did he get the number, all that stuff. So I know it gets kind of complicated.
That.
And I just want to make sure our chief has the time to, and I want to make sure that it's the chief and not somebody that he's going to appoint.
Well, that's why we want to do that. We want to put him in charge of it so he can designate and he's the fund who he wants to.
Well, that's what I have a little issue with, to be honest.
That's the company who... buys.
Yeah,
there's
a company that buys accident reports and sends out.
No, I remember.
That's not a violation of confidentiality or minors.
I just want to be certain that we're releasing the information, especially when it comes, you know, with these accidents and juveniles and all that stuff. So it's important.
We've denied some records because of their juvenile records. So, you know, we're aware of that. And the chief's well trained on it. He's been trained on it. Yeah. Okay.
Continuing, I have two on the agenda, two public hearings that were scheduled for tonight. The first one is the density ordinance. I had a meeting with the two planners and trying to resolve some of the issues with what the planning board recommended and trying to get them into the ordinance in a cohesive way that's not conflicting with some other parts of the ordinance. It's getting a little complicated, but I think that we'll get it down a little bit better. And so we just need a little bit more time. I know commissioners have given Alan some comments too. So I think we're going to table that and reintroduce.
Joe, we're still planning on having the planner
come here to explain. But gave him the ordinance to look at and had discussion around, and it was actually a good discussion with Paul and with Bill Abramson. And, you know, just getting their, how we should word it in a more cohesive manner, because I think some of the narrative that the planning board put in made it more confusing than simple. So we need to make it more simple so it's understandable, and so that something written doesn't conflict with something else that's in the schedule in another zone. So there were many conflicts that they pointed out as we were going through it. So I think, you know, before...
That's a good idea.
We'll have them in here to explain it, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I'm not comfortable voting on this without...
Some of the things they do agree on is that the 28 units they're pretty much in agreement with. The 70-30,
the number of bedrooms.
The 70-30, not so. They're not in agreement with that.
How do you get side yards on Franklin Avenue?
That's the biggest issue was all the setbacks and the bulk requirements. They're all explained narratively. And they really should be in numbers, and just sort of made clear, and then so that they don't conflict with the other numbers.
Every building on Franklin Avenue a non-conforming use.
The size of the one-bedroom apartment at 950, they both felt was a little large.
And oh, good.
It's a little large.
That was another one.
So some of the things that we still have to parse out.
So they're going to...
put it into some sort of form that makes sense, and then we'll come back here, we'll reintroduce it, and have them explain it.
Okay. We'll get it to you beforehand.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. That'd be great.
And then the water ordinance, I'm going to move to that public hearing to the next meeting. Commissioner Tucci met with some of the staff at the DPW. I think they're going to be de minimis changes, but we'll get them to Alan. Just to make sure, and hopefully we can have a public hearing on those.
And they were both, Sal and Nico were both very good. They clarified a lot of the questions that I had, and I think our discussion centered around making it a lot clearer so that there weren't gray areas that were subject to interpretation.
I just have a quick question, just when you do this. I know that, like, about a fee, like what it is, $3 per household, all that stuff. What do they do with that? Why wouldn't you just build that into the water rate? Why do we have to do it that way? And what do they do in other towns?
I don't know what they do in other towns. I know that there are maintenance fees in other towns, mm-hmm. but what we found right in this last year is that we have fixed costs, and when our consumption comes down, we come up short. Now, we could build that into the rate, but I think that this is... If we can allocate what our fixed costs are and what that maintenance fee is going to cover, I think that leads that fluctuation out when we do have a decrease in consumption where we're short revenue.
So just so I'm clear, under our water contracts, we can track for a certain amount of water at a certain rate, and we have to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever that contract use is, whether we use it or not, we have to pay that. But then when you actually measure metering, how much water is being used, if it's less than that, we're collecting less revenue against that fixed cost. So if we pay out a dollar and the usage is 75 cents, we're short 25 cents. Is that
right?
Just want to be clear.
What we also discussed was I asked them if they could go back like 3 years. All right, because there's a certain amount that we've been charging people to make different repairs according to them. So I said, well, let's find out what that number is, all right, to make sure that $3 or whatever that number, whether that's an appropriate number.
So what it also does, too, is besides that, and they, what is happening is that the consumer, mm-hmm. well, taxpayer consumer, is responsible from the main to the house. And what we're going to do is we're going to clarify that with that $3 surcharge, is that now the township's going to be responsible to the curb line. And one of the, what this was originally proposed, one of the things that we wanted to do is those of those that have lead lines and stuff, we wanted to have the ability to go in there and change it. If the consumer is responsible, they may be hesitant, even though there's a lead line, to spend the money to replace that line. So it's definitely it could decrease the water quality going into the consumer's house. So why leave that on them? Well, let's take that over and be proactive.
I'm familiar with that. I do it twice and done.
So, there's a lot of things, and I'll explain it more when we get that. So we get to the public hearing.
But we're going to have a baseline as to what our expenses are and what they need to be.
Absolutely.
Moving forward, because this is not the way it was explained. This is not just a revenue grab, you know, to try and build up a little pot of money to be used, you know, in the water department. It's just to cover those costs, because the way it is now, and I know that the ordinances going back needed a lot of clarification, because there were many, many gray areas. And right now, from the main to the curb stop, which is the shutoff, all right, if someone has an issue there, they have the exposure of being charged for that.
Absolutely.
And we have no way of recouping any of that money. So that's part of the reason why this ordinance is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But again, we only want to raise, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, we only want to raise what's absolutely necessary. All right, because we're not looking to be overly zealous in collecting the water.
Realizing we have a $350,000 shortfall.
Yes.
But it does, yes, which we had to include in the property tax increase that you could have avoided. Does it still in there addresses the commercial rates?
Yeah, the different, yes. Different. For different size.
Right.
Water meters.
Right.
And the charges, they're going to also specify in the charges the things that we're going to do, we being the water department, and what we're going to charge people who have it done by outside contractors, by non-Nutley employees. Right. All right. Then there are other expenses, road opening permits and things like of that nature that need to factor into that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
And included in that, there'll be no, right now we charge the shut off. There'll be no charge to shut off.
Right. I was very happy to see a lot of those initial charges, were eliminated.
Yeah. And then, anything new, if it's a new construction, then there'll be a charge.
It's a different story.
So, just it's clear is, we've had a cooler summer. Consumption, revenue,
And rain, Commissioner. Don't forget the
rain. Very rain, right?
So we're all praying for a very hot summer.
Right.
With very little rain. For a lot of reasons.
Right, but Commissioner, you've done a lot to address the costs in the water utility. And I'm just saying is that we had to include in the property tax increase the shortfall in the water utility this year. I would like not to do that next year.
Me too.
So it's important, I think, to get these set.
Okay. So on to resolutions. I have
respectfully
municipal parking permit refund. I have authorization for various raffle licenses. I have a resolution to adopt the employee handbook. And
is this my GIF handbook we're talking about?
Okay. I didn't put your name on it, but yes, you are the sort of the genesis.
Just curious when I saw it.
Just two handbooks.
Handbook and personal policies and procedures matter.
I spoke to the commissioner.
I'll defer to the mayor.
May I say something?
Yeah. You're the attorney.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
You can't have pizza.
I don't want to. This is a long in the making. This is from the mail for the most part. The two handbooks, one for supervisors, one for employees. So it did take a lot of time to mold it to our particular requirements. But I know some of the commissioners want to have a chance to read it a little closer. So there's drafts in your handbooks. I haven't emailed it to you about 2 weeks ago. There's been some very minor changes so we can comply with best practices in one of the areas. But for the most part, let me know if you have any other comments. I'll make them. I don't know if you want to hold off to the next meeting and have a chance to look at it. But the treasurer and the clerk and I have gone through and we made some changes resulting from that, which you have in the handbook. but it's pretty thorough, and it's going to meet the requirements of the mill and the JFTC.
Do we have any time constraints on this?
No, I think if we can do it at the next meeting, we'll be fine.
I think by the end of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and we want to try to maybe distribute it by December 1st. Yeah. So we got to talk about how we're going to copy it and deal with it.
So I'll pull it, and then we'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay, we also just think could have... Well, I'd like to understand better. We agree on what's the plan on how we're going to release this to the employees and address questions because obviously there's changes to it, there's a lot of updates to it, and I think we should think about how, what's the way we want to do it, rather than just saying, here, sign it, right? Is there something more that we need to do to help them better understand what's in the manual, what the changes are in the manual, and what some of the expectations are associated.
Questions of Mr. Chantampo?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean...
And I think Alan should prepare a slideshow that requires all of that.
PowerPoint presentation in your book.
That's right. Here's another thought, if you want to think about it. I wanted to have a meeting with the department heads anyway, because part one manual is really for them. But there's some changes in the law that we should really have a discussion about, sick leave policy, just change as of October 29th, that I think all your supervisors, department heads and supervisors need to know about and need to know how to handle issues internal to their department. So I'd like to schedule a meeting. So maybe either before or after the next meeting, we could have, I could sit with your department heads and go over everything with them, and either they can distribute it or I can meet with each department separately. I just don't know how logistically that's going to work, but we can do that and cover the whole thing. But I think the supervisor's got to be first.
Alan,
that makes sense. Yeah. You're not into your house for Thanksgiving.
I don't think so. I won't be home. But then,
I haven't read it yet, but is there drug policies in there as well? And I mean, because we just went, well, I'm going through that with the police and fire and all that stuff.
Don't forget
and
then, the, I'm sorry.
And then who administrates it? What's the policy? So I know it gets from like this big to bigger than.
Here's the problem with, from your department's sake, and anybody in a collective bargaining agreement, mm-hmm. that the requirements in the collective bargaining agreement supersede the handbook.
Okay.
To the extent they don't cover it in the collective bargaining agreement, then the handbook applies. So, and these are mandated policies by the MEL to give us coverage. So we don't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of changing the language. This is what they want.
But that's my question. So if this policy is more stringent than what they have negotiated in place, you know, I mean, we were just going through how many panels of drug testing to test for and what drugs are allowed, and, you know, medications, things like that. So it gets complex. So I know in the police department, you know, we have our internal affairs guy that administrates the test, right. And there's witnesses and all kinds of procedures of how they do it and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to do it in Parks and Rec, who's that person? Do they, you know?
And differently from the police is you have the Attorney General guidelines that cover a lot of that too. So your collective
bargaining agreement. But not all of it.
No, not all of it.
Not all.
So your collective bargaining agreement and your Attorney General guidelines would supersede this document. And to the extent it's not covered by this document, in other words, to the extent your handbook, or I'm sorry, your collective bargaining agreement doesn't address an area in the handbook would apply. Now, when it comes to overall drug policy testing, your collective bargaining agreements are going to apply. If they're not discussed, I'm not sure about your agreement, then this would apply. It gives you the power to do what you have to do, the authority. We'll look at it, and we can talk about it, and we could, you know, go back and forth on the contract to see if there's anything you want to add. But it's pretty
well, on the contract, though, they're negotiable. That's my point.
No, but your contract's set right now, so you have a contract.
Fires.
But you're working off the existing contract.
Right.
If you want to do a new contract, you could even implement the language that's in here.
Okay.
Right. And we're also investigating a human resources component that I know we spoke about, you know, during reorganization back in 16, but because of budgetary reasons and other issues, we really didn't move on, but it's something that we're investigating and looking at so that we will have one point of contact so that everything is reconciled and everything is cohesive and speaking with one voice.
One of the problems with doing this handbook, and why it was a little more difficult, is our form of governance.
Yes.
So you'll see in each section a requirement as to who gets reported to what, who has responsibility for what, and it's different than most other towns. So you should look at that to see if it's what you really want to happen in your departments, or generally, really should be town-wide. You shouldn't do it in your department differently than everybody else's department.
Well, that's the purpose of investigating.
But the way it is now, it's consistent, but you got to tell me if that's really what you want to do, or if you're going to have a human resource person for the entire town, then we could change the language.
I think we need it for the entire town.
Don't forget one thing, this handbook can be changed.
But we need to reconcile that amongst ourselves, so we're, you know, we're not in conflict with anything that we're doing or anything that we're looking to do, you know, moving forward.
Right. And this handbook could be amended at any time, at your own discretion. Doesn't need to do anything but just a resolution adopting a change. So you don't have to change the whole document. You can change one provision and issue it to all employees. You know, you have to reprint the whole thing and send it out. If you want to change a section, you can do that. So we can be flexible about it.
One last thing. I have authorization of award for Silcon for resurfacing of Highfield Lane.
Is public service, and I'm sure you know this, all the streets that they're going along our west side, they're paving curb to curb?
No. They're negotiable the same way they did on the other side.
Negotiable? What's the criteria for them to do it?
Whatever they dug up.
No, but I'm saying like just... a street that doesn't have nothing to do with me, let's say. But I'm saying, like, where they made those little alleyways to lay that pipe, when they paved that, that's case closure.
Negotiable from crown to curb where they dug up on that side of the street. They dug up on both sides of the street, then the whole street gets it. But there's credits, there's...
So it's a
did a pretty good job on the other side of town, I think, as far as getting everything done. Highfield Lane is one of those areas that they only did half, that we're going to do the other half because it looks horrible. I mean, it's falling apart on the other half, so it needs to be done.
And they're a little tricky too, because we try to coordinate with them. So when they were paving, instead of just doing half, doing the whole thing.
The trade-off.
Right, exactly, but it didn't quite work out.
Yeah, and it's...
The concept was good, the execution was a little lacking.
We did okay last year. We did okay that the person from public service said he got his the riot act read to him how he's going to get it out.
That's
a good thing. Madam Clerk, what do you have?
Yes, Mayor, we have minutes for September and October that need to be approved, and we have a request to hold a Sunday raffle from the Nutley Singers, the Friends of Nutley Singers, for March 10th, 2019.
Jim Tempo. I have one potential litigation issue in the executive session.
All right. So let's have a motion to go to the executive for personnel and potential litigation. Everybody on your way out, grab a piece of pizza.
Whereas Section 8 of the Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975. Permits the exclusion of the public from meeting in certain circumstances, and whereas the public body is of the opinion that such circumstances exist, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex, State of New Jersey, desire to proceed to close executive session, and now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley to move into close executive session to discuss potential litigation and personnel. Be it further resolved that the time when such discussion may be disclosed to the public shall be when in such disclosure may be made without adversely affecting the Township of Nutley, pending and or anticipated legal, personnel, contractual matters, and other matters within the exceptions provided for by statute. Commissioner Tucci.
Resolution.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petrago?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. She was it?